Welcome to Energy Stew. This is Peter Roth, your host. And I'd like to ask you, are you a mystical explorer? What does that mean? What do we expect of you? What do you expect of yourself and others? So being a mystical explorer is not an easy job. And I'm so happy to have a guest on the show who is, I believe, a role model for mystical exploration. And he's written a great book that, and we've interviewed him about it before, called Into the Nothing, a Spiritual Autobiography. And we're talking with, and I'm so happy to have back again, Dr. Gabriel Cousins. Gabriel, welcome back to Energy Stew.
Well, Peter, I'm very happy to be here with you. We have a nice resonance, so it's good. I always like to start, and it's perfect for the topic, with a prayer, emerging the heavens and the earth and the heart and the mind, because the integration, and I'm going to just say it in Hebrew, is chokmah halev, wisdom of the heart. That's what's needed as part of the spiritual exploration. So the prayer is about wisdom of the heart.
I love that.
Okay, here we go. Vishim Yakud Kudusha Brihu Ushinate Bi Ilar Imu Laiha Shemuke Bivavke Biudashlam Mishem Kosrael Kolam Amen.
Thank you. Amen.
Feel that merging of heart and mind, and we're ready to go.
Good. Feels good. And so the audience understands, you just did a prayer in Hebrew. And you are not only a medical doctor, but you're also a rabbi. But you're not following a religious path. You're following a spiritual path as a rabbi, right?
Correct.
Yeah.
It's a way of life. It's a way of life. It's a way of life in which we make everything sacred. And to do that, you have to be passionate. So I'm going to say it's a passionate way of life. Think about that for a moment. To live passionately, you are not a prisoner, you're not a victim, you're not a captive. You're living passionately in relationship with the divine, and that's like the key subtlety here.
But it has so much to do with self-love, and to be in passion means that you accept the truth of your own nature.
Yes. For my story, in 1943, 1 year old, I had TB, and you didn't have a cure for TB then. So I was really introduced to the whole issue of, well, I could die. My mother was trying real hard, my father, but it was a little freaky for them. Obviously, I survived. But I began to search. It was a message, couldn't ignore it. When I was 4, I knew I wanted to be a doctor, but nobody had ever been a doctor in my family. My father had come over from Russia, and my grandfather was a baker, and that kind of background. It's like, a doctor, what's wrong with you? But I knew I wanted that. And this is key, because there's an alignment with the will of God. Did I know those words? Of course not. But I knew that I was being directed. And I think that's an important part of a spiritual life, is you have to love yourself, not only enough to heal yourself, but to follow the will of God, rather than what somebody is telling you should be.
Right.
So that becomes a very important part of the spiritual life, just committed to that. And then when I was 8, I began having visions of people in white. I had no idea. My parents, they were like, what's wrong with you? They were a little concerned. They're always supportive, but they didn't know what I was talking about. And the truth is, I didn't either.
You just knew what was true for you.
That's exactly the point. I knew this is significant. I knew I wasn't making it up. And then later, my older brother, who was sick with me, for 2 years in bed with rheumatic heart disease and a few other things. Actually was killed in a car accident when I was 16.
Right.
That actually really activated my spiritual life. I spent many hours just sitting in his room, communicating with him. I didn't know how to meditate. I was clearly meditating.
Right.
And then at some point, this is in high school, I built a heart-lung machine because of the science fair. I didn't back then, I did on my own. I was recreating life. Uh-huh. And I won this district and I won the state science fair with it. Because when you turn the machine on, it became alive. And people would just gather around like, what's going on here? But I saw that I was creating life. And it was connected to my brother in some way. And so this is very mystical. Okay, I'm meditating. I'm in his bedroom. I'm creating this machine I built in his bedroom. So there was some relationship to the mystery of life.
Yeah.
And I'm going to say mystery of life.
But it's interesting that the dharmic path you took for about it had to do with your whole, you know, let's call it your medical career, that right. had to do with how do you bring life in the fragile world.
Yeah, absolutely. And I was really then beginning to ask the question, since nobody after my brother and I could even answer it, what is this about? Who are we? Now, you can read those in books, but I wasn't reading books about that. My background just hit me over the head, kind of like, what is this about? And then it took many years. I was also, am an athlete. So at the same time, I was doing things that, well, I was captain of an undefeated football team in the National Football Hall of Fame. So it's like, I knew how to take myself to beyond limits because I wasn't that big, probably the smallest guy on the field, middle linebacker guard. Okay, so it's like, I wasn't a running back, I was a guard.
But you were passionate.
That's exactly right.
Right.
Secret, that's the secret. So, and it would influence people because they have an undefeated season. Hey, you gotta be passionate and then you gotta turn everybody else on, okay?
Yeah.
Now, I was doing this naturally, I wasn't aware so much, okay? But I kept searching, what is this about? Who lives, who dies? What's the meaning here? What is going on? So I began doing, in college, more mystical reading, okay? Nobody was quite getting it. And then my father died when I was 21, and that brought more questions up. But the same question,
And I'm on a similar path because I lost my father when I was 17. And it also cracked open the whole spiritual reality that I wanted to explore from that.
Right. And so it was happening to me. All I was doing was agreeing to go along with it.
Well, you had no choice because your soul came here to manifest this journey that has been...
But we do have a choice. But we don't have a choice.
Right.
Okay, because in a sense, there is no free will, but there's the appearance of free will.
Right.
So you can resist it and make life really difficult, or you can go with the flow.
But there's no even free will about that. We're just following a soul purpose that we established before we were born. Our souls said, oh, right. This is what I want. And this is how I'm designing myself to be.
People can fight it until they surrender to it.
Yes.
It's like this, that's all I'm trying to say. It's like you're surfing. I've never surfed, but you're surfing. And free, going with the divine will, you just slide in on the surfboard. But when you're fighting, you fall off the surfboard and get banged around on the rocks. You still got washed into shore.
Yeah, but the wrong way. So that's interesting that we believe that we can change things, but we don't realize that what we're changing, we were always going to change.
Right.
We haven't changed anything.
And so part of spiritual life is aligning yourself with away from the illusion of free will, but the divine will. And it does take some thoughtfulness. For me, meditating was a big player. These events happen, but I chose to meditate and try to make meaning out of it.
But it's all alignment. And I think the more we can find that alignment, that harmonic oneness in us with purpose, with truth, and feel the flow of it, we can be in that flow and just really enjoy becoming, you know, a mystical explorer that has no idea where our next turn is going to be, but we trust that it's going to be the right one, right. No matter what it feels like, because not like life isn't full of disappointments and troubles. You've had, you know, some crazy experiences in your life that's in your book, and it's amazing just how it all works out the way it's supposed to, and doesn't mean that everything is always successful. It just means everything is always in divine order.
Yes. And that's kind of the key. And you begin to rise above the idea of death. So when I was 33, my mother died. And I spent a lot of time helping her die, helping her move to the other side. And then I got more actively involved spiritually. I was swimming Muktananda. When I received the awakening of the spiritual energy, which is called Shaktipat in the Torah tradition, Haniha, awakening of the Kundalini, the spiritual energy, I went deep into the disappeared into nothing and kind of came back down. And finally, I got my answer. There is no death for the self. Now, you can read that in a book, but I mean, I experienced that truth.
But what's interesting is that you reached a place of oneness that you didn't exist because there was nothing.
Right.
But then you awakened. Right. I have your book and I love it. It's so many teachings in it that are wonderful. And the thing is that the discovery is that we're always of one, and we can explore that and enjoy that, and then take responsibility for the duality of our karma and dharma.
Right. The nothing, there's not even oneness, because there's no you.
I love that.
It is different.
You'll get in trouble with being a rabbi if you say there is no oneness, because God is one.
It's dual, non-dual, okay? And there's a place where there's no you to even be non-dual.
Right, because as soon as there's a oneness, there has to be a two-ness.
Right. And the Torah teaches you go from one to two to one. Okay? Uh-huh. It's there. It's right.
But it's the purpose of the religion is to try to get closer to God, so that's closer to one. And so you're coming from two to find to one.
But you start one, then you go to two, then you go to one.
Right. But then you went to nothing.
That's right. And there's a teaching that you can't know God and live.
Wow.
It's a powerful Torah teaching. And that's the nothing.
Yes. Yeah, so the true God is nothing. And you can interpret that in any way that you want, but it doesn't matter because nothing is nothing.
Because there you have disappeared and there's only God. But
right.
You're conscious of a you witnessing it.
Now, I love this idea that we can't fall back onto the idea that oneness is all, because all is nothing.
Right, right. So, but there's a step, and then once you know that, it's kind of over in a way, and then all there is left is aligning with your dharma, which is what we call right livelihood, that increases your spiritual life.
Okay. Right. Well, it's kind of, and I keep coming back to the Bhagavad Gita and the teachings of Krishna to Arjuna, where he taught him about all of this greater universe stuff, you know, really high spiritual understandings. And it's beautiful to read the Bhagavad Gita because you actually are transported while you read it. But then at the end, he says, okay, Arjuna, now you're a warrior. There's a big war about to take place. Go to it. And it's like, wait a minute. We're in this space where everything is together and holy. How can I be a warrior? And it's like, well, that's your dharma.
Right, exactly. And he's one with everybody. And even though he shoots his opponent with 100 arrows, I can't remember his name, they're still one. And everybody stops when he's about to die, because everybody still knows the oneness. They're all playing their
beautiful
dharma.
That's beautiful. Because we're all only here in this transitory life. But beyond this, we're all in community, in the spiritual universe,
right.
Performing lives to grow our light and our souls.
And it's simple. And they knew it in the Bhagavad Gita. They understood that. So they all stopped with this very important person on the other side fighting Arjuna, was shot with so many arrows, everybody stopped and honored his leaving his body.
Wow.
Because they're on the same team.
Yes. And that we have to look at that right now. I think it's very important for the world right now is that everybody together is moving forward through consternation, you know, through the trouble that we're in. It's a purpose of detoxing so we can live in a less toxic world, but we can't live like with less toxins unless we pour them out of ourselves, and I think we're doing that now. We don't know how long it's going to last.
It could last a little bit longer, but what's important is more and more people are waking up, and that's the warriorship that has to be developed, because you see through it. And if you understand that warriorship is doing God's will, and you never ever had anything to lose to begin with, I'm weak and I'm useless and I'm meaningless and I'm, you know, a useless eater. That's the illusion they want you to buy so they can dominate you. But the warrior, which is I belong to God, not to Pharaoh, is what is coming out in so many people.
I love that.
And that's part of the whole spiritual awakening at this point in time.
Right. And it has to come from the deepest place of inner truth, of saying, wait a minute, who am I? What am I? I'm not that
right.
People are saying I am. There's something about me that's much more whole and willing to live from that wholeness to support the warrior in me.
And in everybody else.
Yeah, well, yes, that's hard to see when you see people who seem to be surrendering and victimized.
Yes. And then they emphasize it. Like, I'm going to be leading a meditation group in about an hour, and nobody wears masks, you know. There's a many, many, many people who just don't buy it here in Israel. I know the myth is everybody's buying it. It's not true. And most of the people I know aren't vaccinated. It's like, but you look at the thing, it sounds like everybody's vaccinated. Not true. So there are many people who do understand what's going on and don't play the game.
Right, and here too. Yeah. And yeah. I love
you that. Enough to want to heal yourself.
Yes.
That's the key. And then you love yourself enough to follow the way of God. Right. But if we go back biblically, we know that in the ninth plague of darkness, because we are in a plague of darkness at this point, 80% of the people died overnight,
wow,
3 days of the darkness. That's an important thing. They chose to be with Pharaoh and 80% died. Only 20% left with Moses.
That's that 80-20 rule.
Yeah.
It seems so.
That's what we're facing today. Everywhere.
Yeah.
That's what we're, because it's not just Israel. Now we're talking about the whole world.
Right.
And 20% really waking up. That's a huge amount.
And hopefully enough.
Oh, it will be enough.
Oh, good. Good. Now I'm optimistic for the future. I just know that we have to remain, on purpose to get there.
Right, and we have to love ourselves enough to want to heal ourselves, love ourselves enough to want to follow the way of God, which is not kneeling down and allowing yourself to buy the mass psychosis that I'm a slave and I'm no good, right. That we are sparks of the divine and we need to fulfill our purpose.
Right. I did a show some months ago on mass hypnosis, and so many people have like given their mind away to the media and to propaganda, and you can't even communicate with many people. But that's the need for so many more to awaken. And slowly, there's a crack of light here and there and more see it.
And the more and more are seeing it, that's why they're having to back off.
Yeah. Well, there's so much to this that is in divine order of progress and moving us into a higher consciousness. And it's just that the job to get there is a big one. And those who have come here for it are now I can't say under trial, because I don't think we care that it's a trial.
I don't.
Right, I don't either. We just want to be of service.
Yes.
How can I be of service? And I can do this. Oh, good. I'm going to do this. And so it's given us actually a greater sense of why we're here and to fulfill our soul needs to use this life for the greater good.
Yeah, and we've got to be careful with greater good, of course, because people are misusing that.
Well, I just mean evolution.
I know what you mean. I'm right. Just saying, but it's being misused the other way.
Of course.
Take a shot.
Yeah, propaganda can turn all kinds of words.
Part of the spiritual work today is to be able to have that chokmah halev, the wisdom of the heart, that doesn't allow you to buy that story, that doesn't allow you to go into the Stockholm syndrome, that doesn't allow you to go into the mass psychosis, because you're attuned to God. Meditating helps a lot, okay?
Yes.
Kind of leading a what I call the six foundation way of life, which is eating well so your mind is working right. You're not eating junk food or taking injections into your body that are going to disrupt your brain or break it down. Some movement of sort. I like sacred dance and yoga, and then charity and service, which very key because your heart gets connected. Working with some spiritual teacher or collective, listening to like this talk, that kind of thing, meditating, and ultimately awakening the spiritual energy. And living in a way that keeps it awake, those are the fundamental. I call them the six.
I love that. Yes, that's important.
Pulls it all together.
Right.
It's not just one thing. And that empowers us then to make the choices that we need to make, but we make it with a kind of a willingness to be aligned with the divine will.
I love that. So we only have a couple minutes left. You have your book is Into the Nothing, Gabriel Cousins, Cousens. How do people connect with you?
Yeah, it's good. Thank you. DrCousins.com is simple. Just drcousins.com or treeoflife.mn.co.
Great. Thank you. I'm so glad that people will know how to connect.
The tree of life is the metaphor of awakening. Okay. So tree of life, then MN is mightynetworks.co or just drcousins.com. Either way works.
Yeah. Great. And I love talking with you. And, because even during this show, I had some realizations of listening while I'm listening to you. And I think that's really wonderful. So I'm so happy that we can do this.
We're doing certain things. We're taking people on spiritual fast so you can clear your mind and tune in to things. We're meditating twice a day. And then once every 2 months, we do a meditation weekend. And then we have a zero point course, which is like a Vita Vedanta, Jnana Yoga, where you're clearing the thought. It teaches you how to clear the thoughts of your mind. So there's lots of ways that we support people. And then Thursday, I'm doing Alive and Liberated with Dr. Gabriel, and we bring up the different topics, and then I have a spiritual nutrition hour before that, just supporting people in any way that they can enter.
I'm so excited that you have all these opportunities for people. That's great. Thank you for doing all that you do. And thank you for being a guest on Energy Stew.
Yeah, and I'm working with people all over the world, working in Brazil, or working here, working there. It's like, this is a worldwide movement, is what I'm
and
saying.
And it's time for that. That's great. So
I'm very optimistic.
Yes, good. Thank you so much for joining us on Energy Stew and with your wise words. Really appreciate it.
I enjoy really speaking with you. May you continue to be blessed and empowered. May all the listeners be blessed and empowered with that spiritual worship to stay strong in the truth. Amen.
Thank you. Yes, I love that prayer. Thank you. And this is Peter Roth, your host of Energy Stew at prn.live, new URL. And I can be reached at peter@heartriver, heart river.org. I'd love to hear from you, and thanks so much for listening.